I'm trying to make sure that people are aware of them more and more. The Larkins are comfortably dancing around in their 80s now and ministering continually around the world. Dan continues to travel to Tanzania. He also travels to Bosnia, and he has a Bible school in both places that he was instrumental in getting started, but he is completely removed from the leadership side of it now. He not only started and helped get these Bible schools underway, but he trained up the locals to be able to take ownership of it and to lead it and to be a part of that. We had the administrator for the school in Kilimanjaro here just a few short months ago. His name is Lazaro, and Lazaro and his wife Ellie have just been serving and putting into the Kilimanjaro Christian College. But Dan and Nancy are just an amazing couple that continue to find ways that they can allow the ministry that the Lord has laid on their heart to continue. And that's how I got involved, and then I reached out to the elders here at the church, and then we further stepped out and had some others in leadership go. And now we are just woven into the things of the Lord that are happening in Tanzania. And I'm a part of a mailing that I get from Elam Bible Institute in college, and I got an email that there is a gentleman that just graduated, I don't even know him, in 2014, and he has started a ministry in Tanzania that is designed to help connect some of the churches and have ministry conferences and things like that. And he did some fundraising to get a vehicle so that he could be riding through the bush and just meet with these different churches and minister to them. And I'm hoping that our connection through Elam will also be able to connect with him. And who knows how the Lord works these kind of things out, is that there are people who are desiring to see the gospel of Jesus Christ spread throughout Africa. And it's incredible to see those things happen. And we're a part of that. As well, there's some things happening here within our community. And I don't know if you've seen advertisements around about for it or not, but there's a gathering that's taking place next Sunday afternoon. I think it's starting around 1:30 or 2. We have some flyers and some information in our lobby. But there is an opportunity for the churches to get together at Shidey Park next Sunday in the afternoon. There's going to be worship teams. There's going to be areas for prayer and ministry. There's going to be some things for the kids to do. But this gentleman, who happens to actually be a neighbor of Alexa and I, he has this desire to just kind of unify the Christian fellowship within our community. And I love that. And so if you want to know more about it, we can get you the specific information on it if you'd like to be involved in it. But at the very least, we're desiring to just let you guys know so that you can head out to Shidey Park next Sunday afternoon and just see what's happening and be a part of the ministry. Because the desire is to see the Word of God expand in our region. We really have a contingency in Crawford County, Venango County, and Erie County that are looking for God to move in incredible ways. I kind of gave a teaser out the last time that I was here 2 weeks ago that there's a group of pastors and churches that are wanting to have a concerted effort of prayer. And that's something that's kind of being spearheaded by our friend Johnny Owen. And Johnny came to me a number of months ago and said, I just really see the Lord unifying some efforts within this community between churches that are asking the Holy Spirit to move powerfully. And after I had that conversation with her and we were going to pray about it and see what was going to be happening, I came across a friend of mine at a conference, and I shared with you briefly that he had written a book on community prayer. And that book is one that he specifically has written in a devotional style that is designed to get churches in their own cultures. And so in any given church, they have the ability to meet with 6 to 10 people and pray for 3 months. And then the last meeting all of those groups come together and meet in a neutral location, and they pray in their community. And this year, something that we're going to do is that we, along with First Baptist Church and a couple of other churches in our community, we are going to be doing that three-month Bible study prayer time together, a devotional of we want to pray and lift up our community. And one of the things that we're going to be doing to kind of start that off is in August, Grace Fellowship Church is going to be holding a worship night at the auditorium at Titusville High School. We're going to go right into the high school. We're renting space there. We're going to be paying money for it because that's what we just want them to know, that we're not asking for any favors. We want to come in. We want to rent the auditorium. And I would love to see that place packed out because we want to lift up this community. We want to pray for our schools. We want to pray for our students. And so in August, we have the date. I don't want to say the wrong date. I think it's something like the Saturday the 17th. If that's not a Saturday, then that's not the right day. But is that what it is? Johnny's giving me the nod. And so we're going to be getting together with a community night of worship August 17th at the Titusville High School. And I am really looking forward to being a part of that. And then what's going to happen is this time of prayer is going to be happening here at Grace Fellowship, and we're hoping for six other churches. And Grace Fellowship Church is going to make the initial investment. We're going to get these books into the hands of some of the other leaders. And these six other churches are going to meet with 6 to 10 other people within our community. Those of you who are really good at math, that's about 60 people, are going to be getting together throughout our community. And what our desire is that this whole thing would culminate, watch now, on the National Day of Prayer in May of 2020, is that we would finish our final Bible study the week before that. Then we would come together again. We've been holding the National Day of Prayer in the auditorium or cafeteria of the middle school. And this past May, the National Day of Prayer was held in the middle school. And in 2020, we're looking to do the exact same thing. But then after having spent 3 months together going through this community devotional of just praying and believing that God is going to move in our community, we're going to have our final time of prayer be held on the National Day of Prayer at the Titusville Middle School on the first Thursday in May. I just am really looking forward to that. And Johnny's been praying about this. I'm kind of making all the announcement and talking about it, but it's something that has really been a seed in her heart. And then for me to be able to come across some things just by seeing what God is doing, there is a desire within this region to see God move in incredible ways. And not just in such a way that we would be able to say, hey, we were a part of something that was really neat, and now it's kind of tapered off. I believe that we're in a season right now where God is literally saying, not only do I want to have a moment with you, I want to have a season with you. I want to have a time of being able to be in your presence and encourage you and provoke you in the things of the Lord. And the one way that God talks to me and gives me ideas on it is through food. He really knows how to get my attention. And something that is very important is when you're making something that is going to have a ton of flavor, what you want to do is you want to get it in a marinade, and you want it to get it in that marinade early. You want it to sit in there, and you want it to soak in it. Or if you want to have something that's really soft and tender and able to just kind of pull apart, it's got to cook slow and for a long time at low temperatures. And I think that if we come together and we have a purpose of, God, we are intentionally going to get into your presence with the purpose of seeing an expanded time of you ministering among the people in our community, God will show up. It's a promise and a guarantee. And all we have to do is we have to commit to this. And so this morning, leading into that, there's a series that I did just a few months ago called I Am Sacred. Anybody here for that? Anybody hear any of those messages? The I Am Sacred. There was a number of things that I had to put on the cutting room floor, so to speak, as I was going through that. And as I had some time in Virginia with my friend who was just like, it takes time. I would get up and have a cup of coffee with him in the morning over at his house. And we would be sitting there and he would just begin to pour out to me all of these things that the Lord had done over the last 30 years. And he would say, we came in and people couldn't even believe that we moved into this community. And it's hard to get your brain wrapped around that because you're sitting there and it is just absolutely gorgeous community. And he was like, our own family like made fun of us for moving here because we bought this tiny little 800 or 900 square foot house and we just plopped ourselves in the middle of drug dealers and prostitution and all kinds of things were going on. And then now we're sitting there 30 years later going, I can't even connect with what you're saying because it's been completely transformed. But he was willing and able to immerse himself into a situation where he would say, God, the only way something can change is if I surrender to you and allow you to do what you're going to do. The reality is that wherever we go, carrying the presence, there is a sacred gathering that takes place. Sacred gatherings are something that are pretty predominant in the Old Testament. There are times when people are traveling, like for example, the Israelites, as they're going through the desert, everywhere that they go and they set up the temple, that tabernacle, that traveling presence of God begins to make that area prosperous. That you also can notice that whenever the Ark of the Covenant is moving around, that we find out that the people who that have the Ark of the Covenant at various times, they're experiencing blessing because the presence of God brings peace. The presence of God brings an awareness that God desires for his people to live in peace and to focus on him and to follow after him. And we have to get this idea down that wherever we are, we have the opportunity to be conveyors of the peace and ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what we are. We are carriers of that. If it is true that I am sacred because of the presence of God within me, then I need to, a couple of weeks ago I shared this and Rob touched on this too, is that I need to be able to have the demonstration of the Holy Spirit within me. I need to be the example. I need to be able to say that I am an example of what it means to have the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit within my life. I have to be able to do that. And if I can't, then I need to say, God, I need more of you. I need more revelation within you. I want to share a verse with you in Ecclesiastes. It says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Now, I don't want to read anything into Scripture that's not there, but I believe that one of the things that Solomon was realizing is that if we come into the presence of God with our own agenda and with our own idea, and we don't allow God to do what the intention and the purpose of his Spirit is, then we are just basically running on a treadmill. We're not going anywhere. And what Solomon is realizing in this is he is saying, we are going to draw near and we are going to listen to God. We have to be able to have the discipline to hear the voice of God. And something that is difficult to do is to listen to someone that you don't know for sure if they are speaking to you. I'll say that again. It's hard to listen to someone if you don't know if they are speaking to you or not. So watch this. Our God is a speaking God. Our God speaks to us today. And throughout the New Testament, something that is made very clear is that God desires, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to speak to his people and to lead and to guide. And so I want to clear up any kind of confusion for you. God speaks to his people today. So because that is true, then what I want to make sure that I am doing is that I am listening to God more than I am talking to him. I want to listen to what God is doing. I want to hear the word of the Lord for that moment and that time in my life. God, where are you leading me? Where are you guiding me? Guard your steps when you go into the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. There's some clarity that's brought through Proverbs and Ecclesiastes of what the sacrifice of fools is. And the reality is that a sacrifice that is brought because it's out of duty is a sacrifice of fools. Well, this is, I'm just going to, what are we doing? Oh, we're doing that? Okay, here we go. And you give it without even realizing. And whether it's money, time, whatever, if you're doing something out of obligation, then you're missing the purpose of why we are here. You're missing the purpose of why God has brought us in. If I'm doing anything out of obligation, then I am not in relationship with the one I'm trying to connect with. And this is what's happening here, is Solomon, he's writing Ecclesiastes after a very tumultuous life. He's had all kinds of experiences, and he's getting into this thing. He's realizing, no, when you're in the presence of God, you don't know anything compared to God. Is that true? Right? God knows everything, right? And he knows more than everything. But sometimes what can happen is that we can get so fixed on speaking to God that we're not taking time to listen. And what I want to see happen in the times that we gather together, especially as we begin to take steps into this community prayer initiative that's happening, is that I want to be able to say, we are spending time listening for what God wants to do in this community. I want to listen. I don't want to do things out of obligation. I don't want to have a heart of, well, this seems to be the right thing. Let's just run with this and go. No, let's say we got together, we prayed, we covered it in prayer, we listened to the voice of God, and we know that we are doing exactly what God wants us to do. And with that kind of drive and directive, it's powerful to see what happens. Because watch what happens here. Solomon makes another observation. Be not rash with your mouth, in verse 2, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Isn't that interesting? Therefore, let your words be few. What that tells me is that God wants to speak to me. He knows my heart. And in my prayer, I want to be surrendering to him. I want to verbalize my commitment. I want to know that I am just setting my heart. I'm not saying don't pray. You know, that's not it. But understand what's happening here in this particular context is that the framework of our time with God is to do more listening than speaking. The framework and the purpose is to be able to hear the voice of God. And sometimes, and even it was stated this way in the New Testament, is that the Pharisees, what they would do is, you know, don't walk into prayer and fasting and the times with God and just begin to heap multitudes of words upon words upon words and just begin to say and speak so much. Listen. Listen. And the purpose behind listening is because God speaks to us. God leads us. That is the Holy Spirit. That is what the Holy Spirit is doing, is that the Holy Spirit is that mouthpiece and that guiding person of the Trinity, is that the Holy Spirit desires to lead and to guide His church into a place where relationship is happening on such a level as that we're saying, I know what God desires for me. I desire to be in that presence, and I want to hear the direction of who God is. And then he underscores it. A dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. And we can get caught up in the discomfort of silence before God. Our culture is getting further and further away from quietness. From silence. But we always have to be. Now there's awkward silence like this. But there's intentional silence. Spending time with the Lord. Intentional. A fool's voice with many words. Help us, God, to be able to get to a place to where we are not only comfortable with the idea of being quiet in your presence, but with that quietness comes a desire to hear God speak. To hear what he has to say. Because I want to know. Don't you want to know? I want to know what God is going to be saying. I want to know that. I'll tell you what, I could use 30 to 45 minutes of silence in my life. Take a step back. Say, God, what is it that you want to do? James has another way of kind of launching off of this. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be, you know this, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick to hear, slow to speak. I've noticed one flaw that I have, of many. The more I speak about something that bothers me, the angrier I get. Am I not alone in that? Does anybody else talk to themselves? I come from a long line of talkers to themselves. I've walked in on my mom a lot, and I'm like, who are you? Is there anybody else in here? I'll be driving in the car. Good thing now there's Bluetooth in cars. Everybody thinks I'm on the phone. 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. What is wrong with him? The more I talk about something, the more riled up I get. I get irritated with evil in the world. And the more I think on that and the more I dwell on that, the more irritated I am. And we can justify it, can't we? We can say, well, that's a godly anger. I have to realize, too, that me talking hasn't solved a lot of problems. But me saying, God, I surrender to your will in this. Again, I'm not saying that we don't pray about the ills and the evils in this world. That's not the point of what I'm saying. That's very important to do, is to stand against things and to pray that the power of God come. But what we need to watch and be careful of is that our prayer doesn't turn into some kind of vendetta that we have and somehow being able to direct God and telling God what to do. Instead, it's surrendering and saying, God, we surrender. We want to be in the will. We want to be in your purpose. And God, we desire to be in that perfect will, and we want to be a light unto this world. We want to be an example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Again, here's this. When words are many, Proverbs chapter 10, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Oh. We can sometimes talk ourselves into a frenzy. I know I have. If I could just be a little transparent, every time I say the word transparent now, I picture a fish that I saw in a documentary. His skull is like transparent, and he can like turn his eyes and look through the back of his head. So I see transparency in a completely different way now. Like, that is one messed up fish. But anyway. But that's exactly, I mean, you can see his brain and everything, and so it's like, wow, that's really transparent. But the idea is that if I could just take a moment and say, God, I want to know that I am functioning and walking in your perfect will. When was the last time, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that was the mode that you were operating in? Not out of desperation of, I don't know what to do. Let's do this. Instead of just being able to, okay, here's what God wants us to do. Here's how we're supposed to function in this way. And there's a peace that comes with being able to say this. One of the thoughts that I had on this is that we have a sacred responsibility as his church to be a reflection of what it means to hear the voice of God. I want to say that again. We have a responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ to be a reflection to this world of what it means to hear the voice of God. Because it breaks down this way, is that Satan doesn't like Christians. But what he really doesn't like is submitted, active Christians. He doesn't like Christians, but he'll give a pass to Christians who are willing to just fulfill an obligation, not really affect the world that they're living in, and looking at things and saying, well, that's not my responsibility. I don't have to do anything with that. Satan, he's like, okay, it's terrible that you're a Christian, but if you're going to be a Christian, I would rather you not do anything. And he gets really excited when there's a bunch of Christians that are inactive. Because he knows that we carry the power of God. And all we have to do is activate that power of God within us, and lives will be transformed. It is literally that simple. The people around us, they need to see a oneness in us that displays God's brilliant plan. Is that what it said? Yeah. The world around us needs to see a oneness that displays God's brilliant plan. Do you believe that God has a brilliant plan? You want to be an active part of that brilliant plan? Do you want to see entire communities transformed in such a way that the only way that that transformation can be identified is through the power of God? The only way this change could have happened is if God moved in. You know what my friend, his name is Pastor Ken. You know what Pastor Ken is doing now? He's on a mission against Planned Parenthood. Now, you can be all political about this, whatever you want to. I don't care. Abortion is wrong and it's a sin. I don't care what your political views are. So, and because that's not, to me, I don't understand when murder became politics. But anyway, abortion is exactly what it is. It's murder. And so what Pastor Ken has done is he has said, you know what? It's time that we just begin to pray, just like we did 30 years ago, about the drugs and the prostitution and all the things that were going on in our community, and that stuff is gone. We need to do the same thing with Planned Parenthood. And what he does now is he goes and he takes his guitar and he stands in the parking lot, but he doesn't like obstruct, you know, he doesn't like stand in the doorway and people can't get around him or whatever. He stands in the parking lot of Planned Parenthood. We drove by it twice, because he does it, he goes live on his Facebook, and he's like, I'm here at Planned Parenthood again. And he stands there, and he is an old rocker from like the 60s. So every single song that he sings sounds like a song that Lynyrd Skynyrd would sing if they got saved. I'm not kidding. He like broke into This Little Light of Mine, and I was like, wow. I have never heard that version before. But he gets in there. And he stands there in Planned Parenthood. And he just begins to worship God. They don't interact with the people that are coming and going. They don't hand out flyers. They just stand there. And there's about 3 or 4 of them. And he just begins to worship. I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Then he goes into that little light of mine. But what he's doing is he is saying, I'm just going to stand right here and I'm going to be a tool in the hand of God. And he's like, you know what? I don't know what effect this is having, but he said, I know that spiritual warfare is breaking out because of my obedience. Right. Amen. And there it was, Planned Parenthood. I think it had like 3 cars in the park. It was a giant building. I had driven by it a couple of times and I didn't even notice it. But there it was. He's like, yeah, that's where we are. And he's saying, I'm going to just stand here and I'm going to worship. And I'm going to ask God to have his way. I'm going to ask God to do his thing. And so I wonder this morning, ended with a song that was new to me, and I wanted to sing that together just in closing. I don't know what I did with my stuff. It was here. Did we put it away? That's all right. I'm mobile. I think it's here. But I want to end just kind of worshiping together, because this time that we have this morning is exactly that. It is a sacred gathering, not because that today is Sunday and this is what the church has been doing for the last 2 millennia. That's not why this is sacred. It's sacred because Jesus Christ died and rose again on the 3rd day, and then he sent his Holy Spirit into human beings in order that the world might know that he loves them and he cares for them. That's why this is a sacred meeting. That's why this is a gathering that God desires. And so I wonder if we could, you can, if you wanted to, you can stand, you can sit, whatever. Sophia, it's a living hope, hon. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turn to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Isn't that beautiful? The surrender of Jesus Christ, the desire to say, no matter what I do, I pray that I would just be in line with the Word of God. Father, we pray this morning that we would be able to say our hearts want to be positioned in such a way that we would be able to hear the very words of God moving and flowing through us. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Set me free, hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. That sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the truth has no claim on you. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living
Worthy are you. Let your purpose be fulfilled, Father.
Well, this is a time we're seeing, and this is when the wave is coming in, and we need to pay attention and make sure that we catch the wave of the Spirit coming in to move us into what God is trying to do, to be on it, to move with it, and not miss it. This is the time we've been looking for. Pay attention. Yes.
we thank you for this precious time. Jesus, we ask that hearts would not just be distracted by the things that can be going on in our lives right now, but we would be able to be focused on you, Lord. Pray for an awareness of what it means to be called and set apart by you. God, today, just even in this time, that we would be able to feel that there is a peace that's being plugged back in from being in your presence. Anything that was missing, anything that was out of line, Father, just from being in your presence, Father, we lift up Amy Cochran's sister to you. Just in this moment, we just pray that you would just come into that room where she is. And God, you are an awesome miracle working God. And we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit. If Amy is with her sister even this morning, we just ask that there would be comfort in that room. Father, we lift up our good friend Mike Rose to you and just ask, Lord, that the healing power, the clarity of thought, Lord, as different tests are being done and results are coming in, the word that comes to mind is, whose report will you believe? And we will believe the report of the Lord. And God, we just thank you for Mike. We thank you for his life. We thank you for Melody. And God, we just pray peace in their home. Healing to come to Mike now in the name of Jesus.